Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Berean Bible Fellowship, the program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will get your Bible out and read along with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to read later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
I've shed this corruption and shame.
Okay, you tell me you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're a Christian. That's good. A lot of people say they believe in Jesus Christ. They believe a lot of things about Jesus Christ. But the question here really is, do you know you're saved? The Bible says Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. If you're saved, you've acknowledged you're a sinner. You're trusting Jesus Christ died for your sins. But maybe you're one of those lost believers. That's right, I said lost believer. Do you realize that the devils believe in Jesus Christ and tremble? What are you believing about Jesus Christ? If I said to you, turn to the gospel of your salvation in the Bible, what chapter would you turn to? What book? Do you know? Well, I can tell you right now, it's 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1 says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. All right then, there's the gospel. The gospel of your salvation. It's called the gospel of Christ in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. And it's referring to these very passages here. Notice he said that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Okay, do you believe that? A lot of people say they do. A lot of people believe in Jesus Christ historically, that he was a man, that he was born, that he lived and died, that he was the Son of God even, and born of a virgin, as the Bible says, and that he died on a cross, and he died for the sins of the whole world. But notice back in verse 2 it said, If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. What does that mean, believed in vain? The word vain means without a cause. It means empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance. Does that describe your faith, your belief? The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Well, let me ask you, do you believe that, or are you believing in vain? In talking about righteousness, the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse 24, But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, talking about righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We've been justified. We that believe on Jesus Christ have been rendered to a condition of not guilty by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You say you believe in the resurrection. The miracle of Jesus Christ's resurrection does not lie in the fact that God raised him from the dead. God created man from the dust of the ground. Raising a man from the dead would seem no large task to the Lord. The miracle of Christ's resurrection is the fact that in dying for our sins, and in his blood being shed for us at Calvary, it paid the penalty for sin, and God was satisfied with that as the sacrifice necessary. Therefore, he raised up his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead to show that the sacrifice was accepted, that the sins were paid for. In other words, resurrection is proof of our justification. If God had left one sin unforgiven, Jesus Christ would still be in the grave. God could not have legally raised him from the dead if he had not forgiven you all trespasses. Notice in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him," that means made alive together with Christ, "having forgiven you all trespasses." Do you notice that that was past tense? Having forgiven you. That is, you having been forgiven all trespasses. When God quickened Jesus Christ, raised him from the dead, brought him back to life, he did so because he forgave all trespasses. The Bible says that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, he gave his only Son to die for the sins of the whole world. Do you realize that sin today is not the problem? Your sins are never going to be the reason that you end up in hell. That's right, there's a hell. The Bible talks about it. It's a real place. And God doesn't want or desire that any man go there. Men choose to go to hell. They end up there not because of their sins. Do you realize all your sins have been paid for? All the sins were taken care of at Calvary's cross. The problem with men today is unbelief. Men do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What would send an individual to hell is their unbelief. The pride of thinking that they can be good enough to be saved. Or here's another tragedy. How about the pride or the fault of believing in Jesus historically, but not believing that your sins have been paid for? What would be the point of believing in the resurrection of Christ if you believe that you still have to keep from sinning in order to be saved? You're not trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You're trusting in your own self to save you. The problem with that lies not only in the fact that your works can never save you, which I'll get to in just a moment, but the problem lies in the fact that if you're believing in Jesus Christ, but you do not believe that his death at the cross was sufficient to pay your sins from now and forever. In other words, you don't believe you've been forgiven all trespasses, because all would include the ones you do tomorrow, right? The ones you do after you get saved. If they've not been forgiven, then you've not been forgiven all trespasses. And if you have not been forgiven all trespasses, then you have not been justified. And if we have not been justified that believe in Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ has not been raised. And if he's not been raised, your faith is vain. You are believing in vain. Back in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul illustrates the point very clearly. He says in verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Your faith would be vain if Christ has not been raised from the dead. You say, "Well, I believe Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead." Do you? Really? I know you may believe that historically, but if you believe in the resurrection and yet teach and believe and preach that your sins are not paid for in full, your faith is vain. Because you're trusting that what Jesus Christ did was only partially sufficient, that you've got some bargain that you've got to keep with the Lord. I had a person once tell me, "Oh yeah, Christ died for my sins, but I've got to keep my end of the bargain." When did the Lord ever make a bargain with you? You and I and everybody in this world were in no position to make any bargain or agreement with the Lord, let me show you what he said about what you and I are. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, "And you hath he quickened," and he's talking about these believers there at Ephesus, and that would apply to you as well if you believe. Remember, we said quickened means made alive. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein, in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Do you realize that you by nature were born a child of wrath? That you were fit to be destroyed? God should have thrown me into the bottom of hell. That's what I deserved. When did you come to the point where you realize that's what you deserve too? Until you see your need for a Savior, you can't believe in Him. Until you recognize that you're a sinner, that you're a child of wrath, an enemy of God, ungodly, unrighteous, you don't have any need for God to save you. One of the saddest things I can think of is to find an individual near the end of their days, having lived all their life, thinking that if they just did enough good things, that God would accept them. Then they come to their dying days, and they're just hoping that they've done enough good to outweigh the bad, as though they were in some sort of a bargain with the Lord. I'll ask you to listen to the words of this song and ask yourself this question. If you died tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? Is your salvation something that you know and you're sure of? Or are you hoping and are you believing in vain?
This world has nothing that ain't worth my giving up. The pain and sorrow, Lord, my soul has had enough. Just a pilgrim passing through this life alone. And Jesus is a light guiding me home. I know where I'm going, I know where I've been. By the blood of Christ, I don't have one sin showing anymore. I know where I'm going, heaven bound for sure. I found a dying man who cried out to tell me, "Son, is hell for me all over, or has it just begun?" So sad to see him left with questions in the end. I told him Jesus paid for all his sins. I know where I'm going, I know where I've been. By the blood of Christ, I don't have one sin showing anymore. I know where I'm going, heaven bound for sure. By the blood of Christ, I don't have one sin showing anymore. I know where I'm going. I'm heaven bound for sure.
Do you know that you would spend an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, seated at God's right hand forever? If you've been spending your life trying to be good enough for God to accept you, you've been wasting your time. The Lord said we were by nature the children of wrath and dead in trespasses and sins. That was a condition wherein you stood before God. How could God have made a bargain with you? Why would the Lord have said, if you do this, I'll do this, when the very purpose that he sent his son to die for you was because you were helpless and without hope unless he sent you the hope? He goes on to say in verse 4, the two greatest words that I read in a good old King James Bible are, but God. You that are Gentiles, you that are out there realizing that you were children of wrath, that you were by nature fit to be destroyed, and that there was a time when God would have been right in destroying you. The words, but God, should make you want to jump up and shout for joy, because God just did something good for you. He says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, that is, raised up, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, God didn't have to do anything but pour his wrath out on us. Instead, though, God poured out his mercy. You know, people today say, I want justice. I say, I don't want justice. I want mercy. Justice means getting what you deserve. If I received what I deserved as a child of wrath, as dead in trespasses and sins, as a child of disobedience, I deserve to be put in hell. And so do you. But God's mercy is what I desire. And that's what we received when he sent his son Jesus Christ at Calvary. The Bible says in verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I know a lot of people that claim to believe in salvation by grace through faith, but do they really? Do they really believe that God's grace was sufficient to pay all their sins at Calvary? If they did, then why are they running around confessing sins? To say, God, please forgive me of a sin, is to say, God, I don't really believe my sin has been forgiven. Wouldn't that mean your faith is in vain? When was there a time in your life when you finally realized that you can't quit sinning? I know religious people that are very zealous of the Lord, and in their zeal, they've come to the conclusion that they just don't sin anymore. They think that when they got saved, God took away their desire to sin. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you're still alive and breathing in a body of flesh, you have the desire, the capacity to sin. You will never leave that until you leave this body, until the Lord changes our vile body. Do you realize the Lord says your flesh is vile? Why would you try to clean something up that's vile? It's only fit to be thrown away. What Paul said to do is put our body under subjection, that we should not serve sin. But believing on the Lord Jesus Christ means believing that your sins have all been paid for. You say, well, what if you're saved and you run out and you commit murder? that sin's paid for. Does it make it right? No. Will you go to jail if you're caught? Yes, and you should. But as far as your salvation is concerned, Jesus Christ died for your sins. How clear does the Bible have to make that for you? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. There's that word again, vain. It pops up over and over. Is your faith in vain? Are you believing in Jesus Christ historically? Are you believing that he died on a cross? Maybe that he was born of a virgin, that he was the virgin-born Son of God, that he is God Almighty in the flesh? But you don't really believe that all your sins are paid for. Then your faith is vain. You're trusting that your works, your flesh, your religion, something that you're doing, is going to complete the process. Well, I've got some news for you. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is a gift. You know, there was a time in my life when I was a lost believer. I believed in Jesus Christ. I believed that he was the Son of God. I believed that he came to this earth to die for the sins of the world. I understood at least that his death at Calvary was the payment for sin. But there'd never come a time in my life when I turned my salvation over to him, believing in the man Christ Jesus, that what he did was sufficient to pay for my sins. See, I had a head knowledge of things concerning God and the cross. I believed in him historically, and I even believed that he was raised from the dead, but I did not believe on him. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The verse that hit me square between the eyes was one day in hearing a Bible tape by a preacher. He mentioned in John chapter 5, where Jesus Christ was speaking to the Pharisees, religious people that knew the Scriptures. And he said, search the Scriptures in verse 39, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. When did you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and turn, as it were, your salvation over to him, so that you have the knowledge, the assurance, you are fully persuaded that when you die, you'll be caught up to be in heaven with the Lord? When did you do that? I like the illustration of the man who stretches a wire across the Grand Canyon, and a crowd gathers to watch what he's doing, and he says, do you believe I can walk out on this wire? And they don't believe him, and so he gets on the wire, and he goes across to the middle, and he walks back, and the crowd cheers, and he says, now do you believe that I can do this? And they say, yes, I believe it. And then he takes a wheelbarrow, and he says, do you believe I can walk out there with this wheelbarrow on the wire and not fall? And there's some doubters again, so he walks out with the wheelbarrow, and he comes back, and the crowd cheers, and he says, now do you believe that I can walk out there with this wheelbarrow? And they say, yes, we believe it. And then he says, okay, get in the wheelbarrow. Would you be willing to do that? Why don't you just believe the Lord and trust him for your salvation? I've turned my salvation over to the Lord. I, as it were, got in that wheelbarrow. If it falls, God's a liar. And the Bible says it's impossible that he should lie. My salvation rests upon what Jesus Christ did. I'm not believing in him historically. I'm believing in what he said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, remember, God could not have raised Jesus Christ from the dead if he'd left one sin unforgiven. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? or are you believing in vain? You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 on KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Berean Bible Fellowship. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program. You can write to me, Brother Scott Mitchell, at Berean Bible Fellowship, that's B-E-R-E-A-N, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. Call me if you need more information at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.